And he began this series with one phrase and three words. One phrase, three words. Jesus is better. Remember? That's how he began his series. And I guess it bids the question, doesn't it? Better than what exactly? And it's actually an important question to ask because the author of Hebrews, as Rod has been bringing to our attention, I think quite clearly something specific in mind. Is Jesus better than everything? Is Jesus better at everything? Well, no, actually. Is Jesus a better soccer player than Ronaldo? Probably not. Probably not. Apart from the fact that soccer wasn't played when Jesus was alive, not the way it's being played today, soccer isn't the point. I think when you read the scriptures, you'd know that without me having to tell you. The author of Hebrews has one thing and only one thing in mind. When it comes to salvation, Jesus is better. When it comes to worth, Jesus is better. No one and nothing comes close to Jesus. Does anyone compare to Jesus in worth? Well, the answer is no. Jesus is better than everyone. He alone is worthy of our praise. Let's bring that home. He alone is worthy of your praise. Does anyone compare to Jesus in their ability to save? Again, the answer is no. Jesus is better than everyone. No prophet was better. No king was better. No priest was better. No prophet is better. No king is better. No priest is better. And just to bring the point home, the author compares Jesus to Moses. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. And he then goes on to explain in a little bit more detail what exactly he means. Moses was a faithful servant in God's house. Jesus, however, Jesus is the builder. Moses served God faithfully in his house. Without Jesus, however, there simply is no house. But let's not only stay in the human realm. Not only is Jesus better than Moses, Jesus is better than the angels. Now, the author of Hebrews told us that, didn't he, in chapter 1? Rod brought that to our attention. No angel can save. No deity that man bows down to, and humanity bows down to great many deities. No deity can save. Jesus is better than anyone and everyone. Everything Jesus is better than. In what sense is Jesus better? Oh, Jesus is a better teacher. Jesus is a better saviour. Oh, better than who? Better than anyone. Jesus is better than anyone who has been and anyone yet to come. Jesus is better than anyone on earth. Jesus is better than anyone in the heavens. And so it shouldn't surprise us, should it, that here in chapter 3, the author of Hebrews tells us to fix our thoughts on who? He tells us to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Imagine for a moment how radically changed we would be if our minds were focused on him. Imagine how radically changed we would be. That when confronted with the big questions, the first person we turned to, often the only person we turned to, was him. How radically changed would our churches be? How radically changed our relationships would be? How radically changed our marriages would be? Imagine for a moment how radically changed our witness would be if our thoughts were focused on Jesus. Imagine. Now, the context that the author of Hebrews has in mind when he says this is that of living a life pleasing to God, of living a victorious life. And so how does one live a life that is pleasing to God? How does one navigate all of the obstacles that come with living in a fallen world? This is the world that you and I inhabit. It's a fallen world. How do you escape, church, the corruption of the world? How do you move from slavery to freedom to rest? And the answer, says the author of Hebrews, is this. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. That's the answer that the author of Hebrews gives. In verse 15, he puts it this way. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. To fix your thoughts on Jesus, in other words, is to pay attention to all that he says. Everything that Jesus says, we are to listen to. Just as God's people were called to listen to the voice of Moses as he led them out of Egypt, God's people today are called to listen to the voice of Jesus. It's not that Jesus has spoken. I think that's the mistake that we often make. It's not that Jesus has spoken. He is speaking. He is speaking. The word of God is alive, church. Jesus speaks to his people through his word and through his Holy Spirit. Listen to him today. Today, if you hear his voice. In other words, God is still speaking. It's the same word that he spoke to his disciples. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Did he just say it to them, or is he still speaking that word today? Or again, if you love me, keep my commands. Whenever you open your Bible and read it, Jesus is speaking. It's not that he has spoken. Jesus is speaking. And what does the author of Hebrews say? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Anyone who knows the story of Moses and God's people as he led them out of Egypt knows that it didn't end particularly well. In fact, that's exactly what the author of Hebrews tells us, isn't it? After reminding us of the faithfulness of Moses in verses 2 to 5, he then points out that his faithfulness wasn't enough to bring God's people into the land of promise. As faithful as Moses was, his faithfulness wasn't enough to bring Israel into the land that God promised to give to Abraham and to his descendants. And so what went wrong? Well, what went wrong, church, was they didn't listen. Rather than follow Moses and live according to the word that he brought, what did they do? They turned away. Your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now remember what it is that the author of Hebrews says in verse 15. He says this, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. God spoke through Moses, and what did Israel do? Israel didn't listen. What did they do? They turned away. What did they do? They hardened their hearts. It's all the same thing. They didn't listen. They turned away. They hardened their hearts. It's the same thing, said in three different ways. And as a result, they died in the wilderness. God dealt with them by denying them what it was that they hoped for. The rest that they were looking for, they didn't receive. And speaking to those who have placed their trust in Jesus, the author of Hebrews now says, having begun to listen to Jesus, continue to listen to Jesus. Don't be like your ancestors who, having begun to listen to Moses, stopped listening to Moses. Having begun to listen to Moses, they were led out of Egypt. What took place, church, was a great act of salvation. Through his faithful servant Moses, God redeemed his chosen people from the yoke of slavery. Nothing that Pharaoh did could prevent Moses from leading God's chosen people out of bondage. Why not? Well, because God purposed to save them through him. Whatever Moses told them to do, if they listened to his voice, if they followed him, they would be free. And as powerful as Pharaoh was, and church, no one was as powerful as Pharaoh. The whole world was subject to him. And yet just one man, a man without an army, a man with nothing but God's word, brought him to his knees. And everyone who listened to him and everyone who followed him was saved. How? Because God promised to save everyone who, having heard him, believed him and followed him. Salvation, church, is not only salvation from, it is salvation to, and it's salvation for. Salvation from slavery, salvation to obedience, and salvation for the promises that God has for those who trust him. Now, salvation from, I think we understand fairly well, just as Israel understood it. As Moses spoke while they were slaves in Egypt, they learned, didn't they, to listen to him. It took a while, but after a while, they listened to him. And as they listened to God's faithful servant, God brought them out. But salvation is not simply leaving, is it? Salvation is also being. And salvation is also entering. And the author of Hebrews is reminding those who have placed their trust in Jesus that having trusted, they are to continue to trust. Salvation is more than just leaving. It's more than just being rescued from something. Having been rescued from, those that God has rescued are to live under his rule. And as they live under his rule, he then leads them into the land that he has promised them. Now you might say, if Jesus is greater than Moses, then surely he can finish what he started. And the answer is, of course he can. Of course Jesus can finish what he started. God called Moses to rescue his people from the power of Pharaoh, and God called his son to rescue his people from the power of death. And he did. And he does. But God's people are called to listen. Just as Jesus is faithful, those that he saves are also called to be faithful. Faithful when we first heard the gospel and faithful as we continue to hear the gospel. The author of Hebrews puts it this way, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." The Apostle Paul, he puts it a little bit differently. The Apostle Paul puts it like this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." The Lord Jesus He puts it slightly different than the Apostle Paul. He puts it this way. If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Who saves? Jesus saves. Jesus saves from beginning to end. He saves us from our sin, but Jesus also saves us for himself. He saves us to be obedient, to live for him. And so what is it exactly that the author of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, and even Jesus himself is saying to us? And what they're saying, church, is don't make the mistake that Israel made. Don't make the mistake that Israel made. Don't reduce salvation to exiting Egypt and entering the land of promise. We all, every last one of us, have to journey through the desert. We all, every last one of us, your pastor included, we all have to journey with Christ, trusting him, listening to him, depending upon him, crying out to him, never doubting that he is able to complete that which he began, but all the while working out the salvation that having believed the gospel we have entered into. I think it's a mistake, church, to think that salvation just happens. Salvation doesn't just happen. Salvation is happening. Do you see? It is Jesus who saves. He's powerful to save. Of course he is. Absolutely he is. Let him therefore lead you. Let him walk you through the desert. Listen to his voice as he directs your path. Nothing, church, is more powerful than him. Every obstacle, every roadblock, every reason to doubt, Jesus can and Jesus has conquered all of them. And so what role do I have in your journey? What role do I have in the journey that you are on? And what role do you have in my journey? And what role do we all have in the journey of those people that are sitting either side of us and behind us and in front of us? What role do we have? Well, the author of Hebrews tells us in verse 13, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so what role do you have? What role has God given to you? Your role, church, is to encourage one another. How often? Daily. As long as it takes. Today, tomorrow, next week, next year, as long as the journey takes to move from slavery through the desert and into the fullness of God's promises to those who continue to trust in him. You know what I think? I think if God's people took this word seriously as the writer of Hebrews wants us to take it, that every day we'd make a point of encouraging our brothers and sisters to keep moving forward. Every day, this is what I think, every day my phone would ring and every day I'd pick it up and I'd hear someone on the other end say to me, Duncan, keep going. Duncan, I'm praying for you. Duncan, I care for you. Duncan, I love you. Duncan, are we going to see you next week? Duncan, hang in there. Keep going. Keep listening to Jesus. Keep following him. Keep trusting him. And every day, church, every day, I'd do the same. Who can I encourage? Who needs encouraging. You see, no one that God rescues is left to journey on their own. He places everyone that he rescues in the middle of a community church that is traveling somewhere. The community of faith is not static. Sometimes you'd think it was when you look at it. The community of faith is not about me. The community of faith is not about you. The community of faith is about us. It's always been about us. It's always been about us. It's not static. It's not standing still. It's on the move. And often, church, where we are moving is through a desert. The land that we journey through is barren. The land that we journey through is desolate. The land that we journey through is dry and it's hard, and the terrain is difficult. And along the way, there are voices that are calling us back. And there are opponents who would seek to get in our way. There are people who want to distract us. They put great big billboard signs on the freeway. They're trying to distract you. They want to take your eyes off Jesus. They want to knock you off your course. And inside us, we have our own voice telling us to give up. Inside of us, we have our own voice telling us that the journey is just too hard. We have our own voice telling us that the person sitting beside me doesn't really care for me. The person sitting behind me don't really know that I'm here. The voice inside of us. That's just not true. That the promise that we thought was true is really no more than a fairy tale. And so what does God do? Well, God gives to us companions. What God does is he places us into a community of faith. That's what God does. God gives to us a family of believers who are there to encourage us. You are here to encourage your family. That's why God has placed you in this family, to be an encouragement to us, to remind your brothers and sisters of what is at stake, to point us today and tomorrow and next week to Jesus. It is, church, one of the reasons that God has placed you here. God has placed you here to be an encourager. Yes, to be encouraged, but principally to be an encourager. There is great joy in encouraging. There's great joy in being encouraged, but there's tremendous joy in being an encourager. If you miss that, you run the very real risk of thinking that you are expected to do it all on your own. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this. You have been called by God to be an encourager. So encourage. Please. Please. Encourage. And you are called by God to accept encouragement. You are not called to sit on the sideline and think to yourself, as we often do, that I can do it. Because the passage that we're looking at actually says quite the opposite. The passage that we're looking at says, no, you can't. God's word says, you can't do it. God's word says, I can't do it. The journey, church, and please do hear me when I say this, the journey, that path between leaving Egypt and entering the land of promise, is hard. It's so hard, in fact, that you can't possibly traverse it on your own. You just can't. Christ must lead you. He must always lead you. And as he leads you, carrying you, actually. That's what he does. He carries you. What are you to do? You are to listen to him. You are to trust him. You are to rely upon him. And as he leads you, you are to yourself be an encourager. Oh, now, we can do that. We can't all play the drums, but we can all encourage. We can't all preach, but we can all encourage. We can't all sit at the sound desk. Well, we can sit there, might not sound real good, but we can all encourage. And that's what God calls us to do. Why? Because the place between Egypt and the land of promise, church, is a hard place to be. And that's where we are. We're between Egypt and the land of promise. That's a hard place to be. Let me jump over to verse 19. So we see, says the writer to the Hebrews, that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Not listening to Moses. Not trusting in what he said. Not believing that he was really all they needed and that he would bring them into the land that God promised them. They just didn't believe it. They couldn't enter. In verse 17, the author to the Hebrews tells us that because of their unbelief, God was angry with them. Because they no longer listened when Moses spoke. And he tells them this because he doesn't want those that he is writing to, he doesn't want us to do the same thing. You and me, where are we? We're in the wilderness. We're in the desert. Now is the time when Christ is leading us and he is speaking to us. It is difficult. It is a dry and a thirsty land. There will be opposition. There will be temptation. But understand that what you must do, church, is this. Listen, trust, follow, encourage. Listen, trust, follow, encourage. Listen, trust, follow, encourage. Encourage your brothers. Encourage your sisters. Be encouraged and never doubt for a moment the victory of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and the power of Jesus to bring you to himself. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that Jesus is powerful to save, not only to save us from, but to save us through a difficult and a dry and a thirsty land and to bring us to himself. Lord, give us ears to hear him and a heart that wants to follow, a believing heart. And may each one of us here tonight who's heard you speak, may we be an encourager of our brother and our sister. May we not only look to be encouraged, but to be encouragers. Lord, may your blessing rest upon us. May we be a blessing to one another and to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.